Rabbi Yehuda Steinberg, Parshas Matos.
Once a professor, a Pashta Yid, went out together with some holidays, went boating. The professor was big Bar Gaiva. He wanted that the Yid should appreciate just how wonderful he is. So as they get into the boat and they start pushing off, he says to him, "Tell me, have you ever studied all the antique languages like Latin and Greek?" He says, "No." He says, "Well, I have. My life must be worth twice what your life is worth." Go on a bit further, but says to him, "Have you ever studied history? Do you know the names of King Henry's six wives?" "No." "My life must be worth 10 times what yours is." Then he starts telling him about how he's learned classical art and music. He gets so excited. In the box of the boat capsizes and sinks.
What?
The boat capsizes and sinks. So the Yid says to him, "My dear professor, do you know how to swim?" He says, "No, I don't know how to swim." He says, "My life might be worth less than yours, but my life will continue while yours ends here." Many times people put a lot of effort in all kinds of topics, which are very sweet and very nice, but they forget what's most important, what's the chios of a Yid. A person has to concentrate on what's most important. It's nice to have other things as well, but do you have the basics? One of the basics of Yiddishkeit is Tzipisa LeYeshua, being Metzapa for the Yeshua of Mashiach. One of the questions that every person will be asked, Lachamer Ve'eslim, one of the six questions is Tzipisa LeYeshua. It's right there on top of the same level of Kavat Ve'etim LaTeira. Do you deal Elach Nusat Nusat Be'emuna? Do you do business faithfully with honesty? Nusaktu Puravu. And one of them is Tzipisa LeYeshua. It is obvious that when we say Ani Ma'amid Emunah Shleima Beviyas HaMashiach Rafa Pishis Ma'amea Im Kozachak Eloi, that Emunah in Mashiach coming is not enough for Tzipisa LeYeshua. A Yid who does not believe in Mashiach is an apikeus. He doesn't even start. There's no six questions for him. He's not got a chance in Gan Eden. A person who doesn't believe in Yud Gimel Ekim is an apikeus. Every Yid is mechuyev to believe. The very minimum is to believe the Yud Gimel Ekim. There's a level higher than believing in Mashiach. A person can believe in Mashiach and say, "Oh, it's been wonderful when he comes," but not be mitzapel Yeshua. Being mitzapel Yeshua is a much, much deeper level. It's a person who spends his time thinking about when's Mashiach coming, hoping for it, being misabel on the churban, worrying about it, thinking about it. This is something which is Tzipisa LeYeshua. It's a much, much higher level than just knowing about the fact that Mashiach is going to come. Chakeloi. I'm not sure if chak is a similar Tzipisa, but it could be that it's an extra tefillah we say.
He's going on holiday, taking away from your belief in Mashiach coming.
Bemis. We say in Yigdal, Yishlach Keitzah, Yobin Mashichoi, Hashem will send at the end of days as Mashiach, Liftois, Mechake Keitzah Shuosoi, to redeem those who wait for his Yeshua. Mechake Keitzah Shuosoi. Yecheskel Levenstein, or Yecheskel says, Barichos, That just like when we came out of Mitzrayim, only one-fifth came out, and four-fifths remained behind. The same thing in the Gula Asida, that only those who are mechakei kates, they will be lifters mechakei kates. Only those who are actually constantly waiting for Mashiach. And those who are davening for Mashiach constantly, those will be the ones who will be saved. The rest will not. That was the Gemara says a very similar nusach, Kalam Zabla Yerushalayim Zeicha V'Rebi Simchoso, that if a person wants to be Zeicha to be B'Simcha, to see the Simcha of Yerushalayim, he has to be Zabla Yerushalayim. It's the same kind of Loshen, but he says it's a much more stark Loshen. He says we see the Christ of going to one Medrash, only 1 in 500, 1 in 5,000 survived, came out of Mitzrayim. And he says it could very well be that when Mashiach comes also these numbers. Only those who mamish or mechakei kates yeshuose, those will be lifters mechakei kates yeshuose. Yaakov Emden, come back to it later, but he talks about in his Siddur, towards the end, he talks about the fact that Kali Yisrael have suffered terribly in Golus. Tremendous tzoros. He says he doesn't understand why they should suffer so much. He says there's no answer which satisfies the question. How could it be that Kali Yisrael have suffered so much? He says the only answer which satisfies him, he says Yaakov Emden, is the fact that we're not Mis'abel al Yerushalayim. And Akshvorch, so to speak, has to make things so bad that makes us want Mashiach to come. And he says, you see again and again that those communities that were not Mis'abel suffered worse. We'll come back to it. I'm just trying to put down the chashivus of Tzipis of Yeshua, chashivus that a person has to be Mis'abel in Yerushalayim. So I'd like to try today to be over this Nekuda. There are many ways for a person to reach this level. We'll try to point out a few of the easier ways that a person should become a Mis'abel in Yeshua. The hardest thing about today, one of the hardest things, is that Baruch Hashem, we live in a society where we don't feel that urgent need for Mashiach. We get up in the morning, put on talis and tefillin, we're zeichet to daven, kriyas shma, learn Torah. We feel that our ruchnius on the whole, we'd love it to be a lot better, but on the whole, Baruch Hashem, and our gashmius as well, the life expectancy of a yid is not always better than the goy, we're wealthier generally than the goy. A person feels that on the whole the situation is not so bad. And because of it, it's very hard for a person to constantly think to himself from Mashiach. As you point out, we've got the summer holidays ahead, people are busy with their homes, making nice houses, nice holidays. It is hard for a person who sees success in what he's doing to be misabel and to be misapel Yeshua. But Yehuda Nossi, the Medrash brings that a couple places, the Gemara in a different Nusach, coined the phrase, from the high roof to the very low pit. Let me explain this, talk about this. It's a very chashuv nekuda, which will help to tackle this problem of how to misapel Yeshua. Bemis, many of the kinnas were written by the Rishonim, the Kadmonim, all to help us be misapel on Yerushalayim. If a person understood the kinnas, and the Eichel as well, then that would help a person be misapel on the Chob and be misapel Yeshua. Unfortunately, we don't always understand it. In Taka, it's very nice that there are places where they teach the kinnas on Tisha B'Av, but I think with Lachoyah it would be even better if we were to learn it before Tisha B'Av. Because in that way on Tisha B'Av we can go back to the normal way of saying the kinnas. But if we can't, at least we should understand it on Tisha B'Av. Remember, it's a passing incident, but when I lived in Kiryat Sefer, I had a friend, a few years older than me, who, Choshva, he had his son going to Yeshiva Ketana. And Kiryat Sefer Bnei Ara, there's dozens, if not more, of Yeshiva Ketanas. So he told me he's looking for a good Yeshiva Ketana. Right? So he spent months researching it, and he sent his son. So I asked him a few months later, how's his son doing? So he said to me, Baruch Hashem, the Yeshiva Ketana is wonderful. There's one problem with it. It's a delicate akuda. He said, his son, he doesn't think will ever see any of the Anhala crying for Yom Neroim, crying on Tisha B'Av, crying, he won't see it, says Mamishler, with Bali Madriga, Daktik Ba'alocha, Lamdonim, they won't see the crying. So when I grew up, he was in Lenten Gates for years, Subhan Kaufman, Zor Rosenbaum, people that could sit and cry. He said, right, sir, he doesn't even know whether he understood why they were crying. But it makes an impression. I remember when I was younger down at the Manchester Yeshiva on Tisha B'Av, you'd see people sitting there and crying. So I've had all these learning the kinnas before. learning the Knesset Tishbe'av was wonderful, but that delicate nekuda, would our children see people sitting and crying on Tishbe'av? Something to think about. So it's kedai ben is to really have shown before, that way we can go back to the thing, but if you can't, at least on Tishbe'av. The many of the kinnas, actually, if you look at them, they are discussing of Yehuda Anossi's phrase, of Mi'igo Romo, the Bira Amikta, from the high roof to the low pit. I'll try and explain. There's a posuk in Ezra, which Reb Chaim Freelander talks about, Barichos, a posuk, fascinating posuk in Ezra. What happened was, the posuk there describes the Chanukah Sabbais of the second Beis Hamikdash. Can you imagine Klal Yisrael had been in Golos, they had seen the first Beis Hamikdash being destroyed, and finally, they had finished building the second Beis Hamikdash. Can you imagine? And the posuk describes the how the people were singing and dancing from Tirch Simcha. Can you imagine? And the posuk adds that the older people started crying. The older people, we're talking about much older people, we're talking about people that must have been over 80 years old, I assume, because they were the people that remembered the first Beis Hamikdash. They remembered the first Beis Hamikdash, which in some ways was greater than the second Beis Hamikdash, even though Chazal tell us the second Beis Hamikdash was taller and lasted longer. But the first Beis Hamikdash had certain nisim which the second Beis Hamikdash never had. And because of that, the older people who remembered the first Beis Hamikdash, when they saw the second Beis Hamikdash and realized that it's not going to have the same level of Kedusha, of Nisim, they stood there and they cried. And the younger people were singing and dancing. And the pasuk finishes off that from the distance, you could only hear the crying. So it's a panic as that. The crying was so loud. How old do you have to be to remember something? I don't know, 5, 10 years old. There were 70 years between the first Beis Hamikdash and the second Beis Hamikdash. So we're talking about the people that were over 75, 80, 90 years old were crying, and everybody below that age was singing and dancing. And from the distance, all you could hear was the crying. What's the difference? The same event. The same event makes one person sing and one person cry. And the answer is because it depends where you're coming from. The older people remember the first Beis Hamikdash, so for them it was upsetting. This is what we get. This is Beis Hamikdash. We were hoping for more. And the people that were younger than that, all they remembered was Nebuchadnezzar. All they remembered was the suffering of Babel. And now they come into Beis Hamikdash and they see the Shekhinah. They're all happy. They're singing and dancing. It's very when a person remembers the success, it's a much more upsetting what's happening at the moment. I'm going to use a moshul, I don't like it, it's a moshul that happens regularly. Every so often you'll hear a sad conversation, imagine a conversation between Reuben and Shimon. Reuben says to Shimon, have you heard so and so? He's lost all his money. He's a wealthy man, he's lost all his money. And they can imagine such a conversation. Shimon says, do you know what I mean? I wish I was as poor as he is now, I wish I was as bankrupt. You know, he still has more than me and you put together. That is not a true response. It isn't it's a feeling, but it's not a true response. Because at the end of the day, for that person who was used to it, it's very, very hard. The person who lacks sympathy just because the person has still more money than him is lacking in middos. At the end of the day, he was used to a different level. He was used to a different level. I remember I've seen many books talking about how many of them were actually killed in the second Beis Hamikdash and the first Beis Hamikdash. And what they do is, and then they talk about how many Yidden were killed in the Holocaust. And then they say that the Holocaust was much more Yidden. There are such books. I'm not sure that Teheres of making such a calculation. It actually made me curious. I used to teach Neu Sumeach, so Bell Wine teaches there. And he's a very well-known historian. So one time I managed to call to him, so I said to him, Taka, tell me, it's very hard to know. How many Yidden were killed during the first Beis Hamikdash and the second Beis Hamikdash? Let's compare. In the Holocaust, at least 6 minutes. Some say it was more. Let's compare the numbers. So he said, he went on for a bit. I don't know exactly, can't say verbatim what he said. The first Beis Hamikdash, we're talking about only in the hundreds of thousands. In the second Beis Hamikdash, says Yosefus says it was 1.1 million. The Roman historians put it at less. There's more in Gittin, which more makes it to very, very, very high numbers. Billions. But Kadiyah was a derech bashu because the whole world's population was only in the millions, wasn't in the billions. But I might say, could very well be, Taka, one can accept the premises that many, many more Yidim were killed in the Holocaust than in time of the Exodus. One can accept. But there's no comparison. And this is the Nakuda. In the Holocaust, the Yidim were suffering before. We were in Poland, Russia, places full of anti-Semitism. We were from a pit, and we went much further deep inside the pit. In the Churban Beis HaMikdash, was be'ikra Roma le'bira HaMikta. We had a Beis HaMikdash, and we had the success, the ruchnis, and the gashmias of what it meant to be Amma Nivcha, with all what it came with it. And then we were thrown into a Churb.
The culture difference is that in the Holocaust, you were killed
because
you were a Jew. You
had no option to opt out. In the Bible, you could become a Roman.
No, the Romans killed
indiscriminately as well. A person who has no knowledge of the godless of Klal Yisrael will never appreciate what the Churban is. It's very interesting. If you want to ask a riddle, where do you think the Medrash talks the most about the greatness of Klal Yisrael? Where's the Medrash? We want to know about the Chochmah of Klal Yisrael, the Gdula of Klal Yisrael. Where's the Medrash? Beginning of Eichel. Beginning of Eichel, the Medrash goes on and on and on about the Chochmah of Klal Yisrael. And what happens is the Yidden would go to a place, if they came to a town, into a Gosha town, everybody would stop what they were doing. If a Yid came into town, everybody would stop what they're doing, they would give him a golden throne and say, sit and teach us. One Yid would come into town. Medrash there is a very interesting, a long story about two children, two little children that the Romans captured. The Babylonians captured in the first place of Hamikdash, and that they asked them questions, and every time they gave tremendous chokhmah. If you look at the first pasuk of Eicha, Eicha Yosha Vodod, and what does the pasuk say? Hoy Rabosiyom, Rabosi Bagoyim, Sorosi Bamdinois. Three different phrases to describe the greatness of Klal Yisrael. Rabosiyom. Rabosi means very lots of people. Rabosi Bagoyim, great amongst the nations. Sorosi Bamdinois is like a prince. Without realizing where we are from, we will not be able to be Mis'ab. There are many kinnas which are based on that. Beautiful kinnas, one of the famous ones is Betzeisim Mitzrayim and Betzeisim Yerushalayim, where the Baal HaKinna compares how we came out of Mitzrayim with Nisim, Moshe Rabbeinu leading us, and the song of Shiro compared to coming out of Yerushalayim, Tzoros, Nebuchadnezzar leading us, and Titus, and having Klolas screamed at us all the time. There are many others. There's a beautiful kinnah, V'ata Omarta Eitev Eitev Imachol. The beautiful kinnah where it contrasts the brochas of Klal Yisrael versus what actually happened to Klal Yisrael B'zman HaChurban. Bemis, there are two chalokim to this Me'ikra Roma Lepira Miktum. There's the ruchnias aspect and the gashnias aspect. There's the loss, we were a nation of ruchnias, of the spesiha atzlocha, we've lost it all, and also the gashmias in our physical success. Let's mention a little bit the ruchnias shepoi first, or the gashmias afterwards. Talk about ruchnias. What's a moment of ruchnias that we have? Some people might be Leila Seda, Shtanachis, Yishomdo. Some people will be Konidre, Ve'ilon, Yom Kippur. A person might be when he chaps ois klo, kasha from a rishon or a teretz of a rishon, a piece of lomdus. When we talk about ruchnias, often people jump straight away to Gan Eden. That's when we get ruchnias. It's a big mistake. A person can go through a daily life and have small moments of geshmak of ruchnias. There's no greater geshmak. The Racham HaKadosh, Pashki Sovri, that a person, the geshmak of ruchnias b'olam hazeh is greater than any gashmis l'kanor that there is. And a person who's experienced it even for a very short moment appreciates it. That's part of the reason why many of the goyim, however successful they become, end up killing themselves, because they never get that. Neshama's yearning for it, they never get it. That momentary feeling of ruchnias, like a shmak, a closeness to Hashem, Klal Yisrael, Bizman Beis HaMikdash, felt it all the time. Yefei Noif Mesuiz Kol Oretz. Chazal tell us that what happened was that if a person ever Chas Hashem did an Aveira, he could bring a korban and a miskapeloi. And therefore, there was nobody ever unhappy in Yerushalayim. Nobody was ever unhappy in Yerushalayim. The Moral says that a person did not read his bank statements in Yerushalayim. Because when you read a bank statement, sometimes you can get a bit upset. Like you don't read Hatzal Chasna, it's not past. In Yerushalayim, there was nobody who would have a moment of sadness. You completely had whatever we feel for a few moments, a few times a year, Klal Yisrael felt it all the time. And the person has such a picture and then he goes to shul, he thinks of, oh, Baruch Hashem, I was zeichet today, put on talis and tefillin, say Shema, Kabbalah Malach HaShemayim. But when you contrast it to what the Me'ikah Roma, what we had, and so we have now, that he starts realizing that Be'emes, we have to wait for Mashiach, otherwise we're not going to have this. You can look at it in another way. In Torah, we have Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, we think to ourselves, Baruch Hashem, we keep a lot of halachas, Shulchan Aruch is very long, we keep a lot of mitzvahs. It's amazing if you think about how little of Shisha Sidrei Mishnah we have left today. We have very little of it left. You take Sdoim like Taos. Taos, we have mamish almost no shaykhs to whatsoever. We're all Tomei, we don't know the halachas came out of Torah, we can't become Tomei anyway. We don't have poor Adumo. We have a tiny bit to do with Nidah, but most of Taos, 95% of Taos, we have no shaykhs to whatsoever. Kodshim. Kodshim, okay, we also have no shaykhs to Kodshim. Zvachim, Menachas, when was last time we can't win Kabonis? Chulim, we have most of Chulim, but not Reish Sagez and others. But the etzem mitzvah, the actual dinim, we don't have them.
No, we say Torah.
Yes. Yeah. We'll go back to it. So you think this? Okay, the Kodesh and Taos, those are be'emes, lasid lovei dekav sedoyim. Let's take a seder like moyed. Moyed, that definitely. I mean, Tovim Shabbos, we have it all the time. Do we have it moyed completely? Let's take a seder like Yumah. Yom Kippur is the highlight of the year. 8 prokim. We only keep the last perk of Yuma. The first 7 prokim of Yuma deal with the Kohen Gadol, the Beis Hamikdash. Psochim, Pesach we're very busy with. Half of Psochim is about the Kohen Pesach. We don't keep the Kohen Pesach. We only do the Chametz HaMatzah Shabbos. Shkolim, we don't do. Chagiga, we don't do. Moed itself, the amount of Moed that we've lost, all the Korbanos Musafim and everything that comes with it. Even Moed, which we think we have, we're missing a very, very lot. Come to a Seder like Zvoim. But then after that, okay, so you say we take the challah and we burn it, but that doesn't compare to taking the challah and giving it to the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen who eats it betara, b'kedusha. Instead, we throw it in the bin after we burnt it or wrapped it twice. We don't have a shaykhus to most of Torah. So it's amazing if a person thinks about how little. Even the Zikin, you say the Zikin, we don't have a Sanhedrin, we don't have Makkas, we don't have Beis and Smuchin. So most of them come from Tzibov Vasa. If we don't know the halacha, we say Kimli. The amount of the Sanhedrin, we've lost the whole Messiah of what based in Avada with the Champions for Seinu and with Tfila. We have a very, very lot that we have a Shaykhus to. But the Etzem, if we look at how rich Torah is, like the wealthy person, say he's still richer than what you are, or what me and you are. That doesn't make it. The fact is, compared to what he had, this is the Me'igo Roma, the Bira Mikto. Even in Noshim, if one thinks about how little Seita, which was the Kedusha Sabais, a lot of the Nozir, which was the Tara of the Yid, the Precious of the Yid, all that, we don't have a Shaykhus to. A person thinks about his situation now, unless he has a clear memory of what we had, what the Beis HaMikdash was like, then it's very, very hard to be with Sapa Yishua. To obey quickly a little bit about the Gashmias Chelekom Igor Roma Lebira Mikto. Nowadays, people often celebrate, and I saw definitely the Six-Day War, was a major victory. Think about it, when Kaisal came to Eretz Yisrael, they had 31 kings to destroy. They killed every single nation, and only one person was ever killed in battle. In the Battle of Ai, one person was killed. The Chazal say it was one person, Shoko, connected as a Mielsen Hedgen, not Louis Hedgen. One person was killed in 31 wars. And when one person was killed, Yeshua was asking, well, what could happen? How can such a thing be? Somebody died in the war. How can that such a thing be? And straight away, he found out, and then he found there was a chet in Klal Yisrael, got rid of the chet, and then nobody dies again. They got a picture of what it means. So the Maggid had a very similar nusach to what we mentioned before. It means a marshal. There was once a very wealthy person with a beautiful palace, and servants, and any clothes he wanted, and he lost all his money, and he becomes poorer and poorer, and he's starving. He goes one day to a rubbish dump, and he finds a loaf of bread which was mostly uneaten. So he sits down to enjoy the bread, and a friend of his who only knew him from previous times walks past, and the friend starts crying. So, why are you crying? It's a happy day for me, I found there's some bread to eat. I said, what do you mean? I remember you when you were v'shavoscha, when you had your success. So the same thing, he says, he talks about Kala Dakshvorchu. Our memories are very weak. Hashem remembers what we had, how it was. A person who wants to be Misabel has to remember what he had. When you remember what you have, then you can be Misabel. This Nakuda, this contrast, is the Aleph base of having an ability to misabel on the Chorban. The person who doesn't spend any time before Tishba or non-Tishba thinking about what the success of the Bais HaMikdash was will not be able to start being misabel on the Chorban. And Moshe, just to bring it more closer, if a person Chas V'Shalom uses a child, what happens is that the beginning is very, very misabel for years. With time, it becomes less painful. If he wants to be over the pain, time to yotzeit and moshul, he might take out photos and things to remind himself of the life of the child. Every person, the churban happened thousands of years ago. If we want to miss abel on the churban, the way to do it is to take out photos, pictures in our minds, what it was like to be Beis HaMikdash, the nisim that occurred there, the ruchnius level of Klal Yisrael, the gashmius level of Klal Yisrael. When you have that clear in your mind, and there are many kinnas as well, which all work through that avodah. I mentioned B'derech Agav, I find an ancient kinna, one of the kinnas describes Rabbi Shmuel, no B'tish Rabbi Shmuel, it's Chaf Gimel in the normal standard kinnas. It talks about no B'tish Rabbi Shmuel, it's very interesting, the Gemara talks about this story, the Medrash is ma'ach about this story, what happened was, baby Kitzah, the son, or some say grandson of Shmuel Kohen Gadol was captured, and his daughter, and they were taken by two different captors, masters, and one said, I've got a beautiful son, one said, I've got a beautiful daughter, let's marry them off, we'll divide the children. And each one sits in the corner of the room crying about what terrible sorrows they've had. If you look at the Lashonis there, you realize what a pride they had in who they were. And that's why they were misabel so much. If you read it, see, we're Netzer from Mishpachas Kohen Gadolim, we had that chashivus, we had that knowledge of who they were, then they were misabel. This is the aleph base of preparing oneself to do this avoid of Tisha. Another chelik we mentioned briefly before is the tzors. Tzors is the easy way for a person to connect to the chum. It's in Santa Medrash, the Medrash says that Gamliel had an almona living next door to him, and she would get up at night and cry about a lost husband, and Gamliel would hear, and he would get up and cry about the Chum of Beis HaMikdash. Until eventually his eyelashes all fell out from all the bitter tears, and they had to move them away. They couldn't live together, they couldn't live nearby. And before she explained that she would be sable on her private soul, and Gamliel understood that all sorrows, Bishroshom, come from the Chum. I mentioned Rebbe Yaakov Emden said, we have no other greater reason for all the tzars is the fact that we're not misabel. Give a marshal that if a person, in the olden days more, nowadays medically, I don't know how accurate it is, a person is in a coma, you first call his name, you shake him, you put water, if it doesn't work, eventually the person starts shaking him, slapping him, wake up! If Klal Yisrael, so to speak, of in a matzav of tardemo, of sleeping, they've forgotten about the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem has to, so to speak, shake them and wake them up. This is Bertzen, the Shoiva Sha'inyan, of Meshe Chochma writes that from Berlin, because people think that Berlin is Yerushalayim, so from Berlin will come all the tzars. What did he mean? It was Bamish almost on the war, because we're talking about before Hitler became, came into power. So he was able to foresee it. Why was it? What did he see? He saw that Klal Yisrael will not be misabel on the Churban. Somebody needs to wake them up. Nothing's happening. Remember, Shmuel Pinkas was speaking about it. I was speaking about this. And he said, so somebody said to him, no, Rabbi Yisrael, Klal Yisrael today, so to speak, we're fine. Of course, the terrorist attack, as I mentioned right at the beginning, it's not easy for a Yid to feel an urgent need for Mashiach with his situation. Every so often, the wake-up calls, but nothing like what we had hundreds of years ago, where a person could be killed and go to the police station and the police say, well, a Yid was killed, what nafkimina can there be? If a person has a stone thrown through his window and the person gets, remember, so you speak, but why do you speak this? If a stone gets thrown through your window and you get the number plate of the car that threw it, You go to the police, they'll open an investigation. He said, in historical terms, such a thing is a ness. All the years in Poland, even in Spain, which was the golden age, there was no such thing as if a Yid would do a hurt, if a guy would hurt a Yid, the police would take any notice. So the Shushan Prakas answered, we had the Holocaust. We had the Holocaust. The Holocaust was such a powerful event. He said, it's had two inyonim. Aleph, the memory of it all should wake us up. And he said, also time, Christ only time to recover. But then he finished off. He was speaking, you have to have somebody like him to say such a thing. There's a limited amount of time. If Chas V'Shalom and Klal Yisrael don't do something, being mitzaka, don't wake themselves up from the memory of the Chol, then the Avad HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have to do it again. That's how he spoke. It's very sharp and losh. If Klal Yisrael are not mis'over from the tzaras, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been new tzaras to be mis'over. It's interesting that people think, nowadays, what we have is a lot of people spend a lot of time on Tisha B'Av thinking about the Holocaust. Because that's the easiest way to come close to it's the most modern day tzar to come close to. But Emerson, many of the kinnas described tzars that happened, and they used that tzar to be ma'ira for the Chorban. One thing a person has to be very, very careful is that a person should be mis'abel on the tzar. The mistake that sometimes people see people in this way they talk is that they talk about the whole Tisha B'Av becomes a day of mourning about the tzar, the Holocaust, whatever it may be, or the illnesses that people have had. That's not what Tisha B'Av is about. Tisha B'Av is a day to misabel on the Chorban. A person can use the tzars to remind himself of how terrible the Chorban is. I'm not sure if a person goes to a shiva house where father's nifta, leaving behind little children, and you see one of the children saying, "Oh, I'm so sad. Now I have nobody to take me the summer holidays." It's a genuine pain. But then it depends. If that's all the child talks about, then you feel there's something wrong. He's lost his father. If a person talks about, I've lost my father, what have I lost because I've lost my father? That's fine. He talks about only the tzitzos, that's not being misabel. It's the wrong attitude. A person who sits in Tisha B'Av thinking only about the Holocaust is not being misabel on the Chumash HaMikdash. First has to be mis'abel on the Chorban, and how to get to it, how to connect to it, is through Taka the Tzotz. So usually people often make a mistake thinking to themselves, when was Eicha written? They ask people, when was Eicha? When was Gilas Eicha written? Simply imagine that Yirmiyahu HaNavi, after seeing the Chorban, he sat down, he wrote down Gilas Eicha. It's not true. But Gilas Eicha was written while the Beis Midrash was still standing, while the first Beis Midrash was still standing. He wrote it b'nevuah that it's going to happen, and he wrote it as if it's already happened, because since he saw b'nevuah that it already happened, in b'nevuah that happened, he wrote it as if it already happened. There are certain pesukim in Eicha which describe events that never happened for hundreds of years. Hundreds. You've got a pasuk there, Sisi v'simchi bas ha'doim v'sheves eretz utz, gamolayich yavar kois. That he says, Sisi v'simchi bas Edom, you Edom, which Chazal was explaining is Rome, you should be happy, enjoy yourself, because eventually you're also going to suffer. At the time when Yirmiyahu wrote it, Rome was a city which nobody had ever heard of. It was a tiny city lost. Who was the powerful nations? It was Bovel, Poras, Modai, they were the powerful nations. Rome, Edom didn't exist as a nation. What he meant, and Medrash says it clearly, that Edom was going to become a powerful nation hundreds of years later, and then destroy the second base of Migdosh. He talked about events that 500 years after he wrote the Pasuk. So the question is, so why was he busy telling us what's going to be all the tzars? What was he trying to gain to describe the tzars? Well, there's a marshal of two people sitting on the aeroplane. One speaks English, one doesn't. And the pilot makes an announcement over the thing. We're now going to hit some turbulence. This is something that happens on every flight. There's nothing to worry about. It's uncomfortable. Just sit down. You'll be okay. So one person understands. Another person has no idea what the pilot just said. And then they start hitting turbulence. And the plane goes up and down and shaking. Both of them will suffer the discomfort. But one of them will have no idea what's going on. And he'll assume that the plane, or might think that the plane, is about to crash. This is it. This is that. The other one understands that this is something which is about to happen. This I should expect. I understand why it's happening. There's turbulence for it. Air pockets. A person, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, wanted Klal Yisrael to have a viewpoint of what's going to be in the history. A person who doesn't understand Gnaseichel, so he sees all the different events and thinks, oh, this so, that so, he has no idea what's happening, he suffers a discomfort. By writing Megillas Eichel, what he was trying to do is to prepare Klal Yisrael that this is what's going to happen if you are not, if you don't do tshuva. This is the future as it's going to be. By having the viewpoint of it, what he was able to do is that when Klal Yisrael see the turbulence, they'll understand where it's coming from and know how to handle it accordingly. And the Ikon Nekuda, they'll understand that this is all coming from the Churban. By writing these Tzoros into the Megillah, he was telling them this is all part of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. This is all a consequence of the fact that you've been of the Churban, which you haven't done Tshuva for. I'm running out of time. I just have one more Nekuda. Chazal tell us that one of the shayrish of the chetz of the Churban was atzim bechisim bechir shal chinam and yekva lechem bechir shal tevis. Chayisol cried at night. The Medrash, Rashi brings it in Pashas Tavoyim. The Pasuk says, B'sinas Hashem v'yitzon v'yitzon v'mitzoyim, Hashem took us out because he hated us. And Rashi said, really, Hashem hated you? That's why he took you out of Mitzrayim? So Rashi says that what happened was that Klal Yisrael hated Hashem. And when you hate somebody, you think that he hates you. It's like a deep psychological insight that when a person hates somebody, he jumps to the conclusion that he hates them. The Pasuk says, you complained in your tents. When Yehuda talks a very lot about this middle that he walked the Baalich and then the Shai Tshuva, he talks about Loshon Hara. And he says it's a middle of a Nirgon. And Nirgon is somebody who complains all the time. I say, it was a Moshul, imagine you've got a child, his father's very, very loving. Very, very loving his father. Gives him everything he needs. The child is a complainer. Complains all the time. Bitterly complains. Thinks his father hates him. So the father sends him away. Fine, you find out you don't like it here. Go away, go. And the son goes, and he realizes how much he's suffering. Suddenly he's got no comfort, so all the food that he's used to, the clothes, all the comforts that he had. So what does he do? He cries, and he's misabel on the fact that his father sent him away. That itself is the kapara for his complaining. Because what he's saying now is how good it was really before. What was the tayelus of atab b'chisa b'chir shalchina onyekva lechem b'chir shodurz? We're spending 2,000 years crying about the fact that the Shvokhu has left us. How wonderful it was that Shmuel loved us, that for 2,000 years the fact that he left us is a sibah to cry. That's the tshuva b'chis yashol chinam, because the b'chis yashol chinam was that Shmuel hates us. We didn't realize what it means. B'emes that Shmuel loves us. That's a big avoider of Tisha B'av, that a person should be misabel. We're talking about misabel on the Churban. We misabel on the fact that we've lost the Abba of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By being misbeinin on that, we misaken by saying that terrible nusach, the sin as Hashem is son, Hashem hates us. The Emma says that midot tov merubah, if for one night of crying about the sin of Hashem for nothing causes 2,000 years of galus, imagine if we would spend one day thanking Hashem, feeling a simcha for the love of Hashem, that we would get 2,000 years of simcha. So midot tov merubah. If one night of crying, this is what we get. Imagine we'd get one day of being happy. It should be mizrich b'emes to be misabel and to mitzta'el on the Churban, to be mitzapel Yeshua, and then to be mizrich b'emes and simchosom.
Excuse me.